Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Welcome back to Business Resolutions with my guest, Ray Erb. We're talking about the education system and your interest in the education system. Partly it takes place, you know, because of the ban but partly it takes place because of other personal experiences that brought you to be interested in this particular topic.
I think, in as with most parents, you have a child in school and you start to pay attention really to what's going on. When my son was, I believe it was in second grade, the school came to us and said that he needed to be medicated because he had, I'm not sure if it was emotional problems or if he had a learning disability or what, but they said they wanted him medicated. So I became very active, my wife and I, and we just paid attention all the time. And he was our younger son, so our older son was doing fine. And so after a course of a couple of years working with him, by fourth grade, he ended up winning a math competition that was not just in his school, but kind of island-wide. And we found out that actually he was a gifted student, and the problem was he wasn't being challenged in school. And I didn't want to take it out on the school, but then I wanted to learn, well, what can we do for students like this who are gifted and want to actually work harder? And his problem was he was annoying the teacher because he wanted more input. You know, he's 6-7 years old. So I started volunteer coaching in math, and I started volunteer coaching a math team. And I did that for about 8 years and got involved with this organization called Olimpiada Matematica de Puerto Rico, OMPR, which is run by these two fabulous math professors in Mayagüez. And they now, it's about 6,000 students every year that compete island-wide in this math competition. My son ended up going through that whole system, and I guess I'll put a plug, he ended up going to MIT. He's at MIT right now, so.
Third year?
He's just starting his first year.
Oh, first year, I thought.
Doing very well. But to be being told in second grade that he had a learning disability to ending up in, you know, this
great engineering
school
in the country.
Yeah.
And maybe in the world.
So, and he had this talent, and I thank God that my wife and I were able to realize at the time we needed to do something. We needed to step in and look at the system and see what, you know, what could we do to help. So what we did was we started putting time back into the system. You know, we each have volunteered at schools, and I've done it for 8 years. At the school that I participate now with is called Espiritu Santo in Alto Rey. They're having their big math competition this week on Friday.
Is that where your son studied?
That's where my son studied.
Yeah, Floral Park, is that the one?
Right,
yeah.
And so that's coming up. They're going to have about 50 schools that they have this huge math competition every year. So, you know, through that I got interested in
education. It goes beyond Puerto Rico, the math competition? Your son ended up competing?
Oh. Yes, he traveled to Amsterdam, he traveled to Paraguay, he traveled to Colombia, and I'm sorry, actually a couple other countries I don't know.
It was like your band experience.
Yeah.
It took him out of the local situation to an international situation and meeting people from all over the world.
Yes, and you would think it's an individual aspect, but it wasn't, because when he was in eighth grade, he helped his team win what's called Math Counts, which is a nationwide competition by schools. And he not only studied hard to win that, but there's four students on the team. He helped the other students learn and improve their skills because they all wanted to. And they rose up to be the number one team in Puerto Rico. And then they selected the top four students of Puerto Rico who traveled to Colorado. And so he competed in Colorado, but he was able to, even it's kind of an individual thing, he was able to use the team concept to elevate his team to that level.
Tremendous. So as you look, you know, beyond Espiritu Santo and beyond, you know, your grain of salt, as I say, which, you know, we all have to put in, and you put it into the mathematic competition and bring these students out of the norm ordinary to something extraordinary. As you look at the school system in Puerto Rico, what do you see as the challenge? You know, what can we do to to improve overall? Any, you know, the big picture? Yeah. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, there's two things. And first of all, my opinion is UPR is the jewel of Puerto Rico, and we should be exporting college-level education. I just ran into a student about 6 months ago from Columbia that's going to school at UPR. And to talk to these students, why did you come here? What are you doing here? They can't get this kind of education in the town he lives on. I can't say about Columbia, but in his particular town, he had an opportunity to come here. UPR is a fantastic university. We should be promoting this all through Central and South America.
Right, right.
But in the
it's one of our export businesses, like they're talking about the medical tourism. They call medical tourism, but you know, it's a medical business profession. The educational, as I say. I mean, I remember with Inter-American, I asked a former chancellor of his school, and I said, "Are you bringing students from us?" He said, "Oh yes, we have an active program." And I said, "How many?" He said, "About 80 students." And he says, "How many total students?" You know, 58,000. I says, "Well, you don't have a very active program in San Gabriel." But I mean, when you look at places like Rochester, where you're from, or Boston, or Washington D.C., the amount of students and families that come each year for their educational.
They actively go out and recruit students.
What that does for the economy is that's something beyond. But anyway, so you're talking first of all to use our Mayagüez and University of Puerto Rico to bring people from outside Puerto Rico to study here, which that helps the economy.
It would help the economy, and
it cross culturally. It helps an awful lot for everybody.
At the elementary and high school level, we are failing big time. And so over the years, I got involved in just trying to find out what is the problem. And basically, to me, there's one problem that we could fix at the elementary and high school level in public schools that would make such a difference. In the United States, for every 100 teachers, there's 59 non-teachers. In Puerto Rico, let's call it 60.
And that probably is too high.
That's probably too high. Let's call it 60, because 60 is a nice number.
Yeah.
In Puerto Rico, the number is 89. So you could call that 90. So in other words, to go from 60 to 90 is a 50% increase.
For every 100 students, we have 99.
Every 100 teachers.
Every 100 teachers, we have 90 non-teachers.
We don't need it. And you don't even need 60. But let's say 60 is a decent number. Well, what that means is there's 10,000 people working in, let's say, administrative positions in Puerto Rico that should be substitute teachers, or they should be, you know, they should be working in maintenance positions in the schools. The schools physically are a mess. I mean, I don't know if you go to these public schools, but they need help. I've talked to principals who put their own money in painting the school, and the teachers go in and do all this work. We need maintenance people, substitute teachers. Everybody knows the problem. That if a teacher doesn't show up, the students do nothing.
And the extracurriculars. I mean, talking about. I mean, the competition, and whether it's a cheerleading, or whether they're different athletic teams, or musicians, art, just different other extracurricular programs that, you know, bring out from kids and flourish like your son.
Right.
And you, the band, make all the difference in the world. I mean, change your life.
The problem is not money. Puerto Rico actually spends a higher percentage of their GDP on education than most other countries that we're competing with. Uh-huh. So it's not money.
It's better use of the resources.
It's better use of the resources. If we just shift around and take those 10,000 people, it's not something you can do in a year or 2 years or 5 years, but you start to move these people into the positions where they're working with the students instead of sitting in an office shuffling paper. I think, there's plenty of money in the education system. Yeah. We just need to put it to work.
Yeah, I mean, if they become a mentor for the Model UN at levels like you talk about, in Rochester, it'll make a change in the life of so many kids.
Right.
Well, we're going to take a break. I'm with Ray Erb of Easy Check, and we've gotten everything but Easy Check. We will now talk when we come back on Easy Check, how you got into that business and where you stand and some of the challenges that you've had.
It's been
a great success story.